in the air. And it's gone straight to Rachin Ravindra. So the ninth wicket for India and the ninth wicket to Ajaz Patel. Can he get all 10? Oh, that's gone very high. Rachin Ravindra takes it. So it's all 10 for Ajaz Patel. What a day for him. Oh, it's been outstanding.
All 10 wickets for Patel. Former Black Caps skipper Brendan McCullum to join us in a matter of seconds. Keep your texts coming through on the temper text machine, 0433 98 11 16. Quite a few coming through from people either texting in the traffic or sitting alongside someone who is in the traffic. To answer your question, Kano, how bad is the traffic in Melbourne? Is it as bad as social media is saying? It's worse.
It's worse.
Well, I think it is worse. Traffic is bad in Melbourne. Right now, I'm in it. And another one, traffic, horrific, worse than it's ever been. That's from Buzz. And I've got to ask you, while we're talking cricket very shortly, Kane, because the biggest cricket story here, not just the selection of the Australian cricket team, but the swapping of this test between Adelaide and Perth, the second test for the fifth test. Are Adelaide into that swap, or do they have no choice? How's that going to play out?
No, I wouldn't have thought Adelaide are into it. So back page of the Herald Sun today, the West Australian government has launched an astonishing bid to swap its test dates with Adelaide after being told the fifth test in Perth has been scrapped. No surprises there with their quarantine rules. I love the arrogance of the West Australian government. One of their sports ministers, Tony Butthire, says it is a no-brainer to swap the Perth and Adelaide tests. Why is it a no-brainer? What's the benefit to Adelaide for doing that? There's still the threat that the South Australian government are going to close their borders altogether. They'd be hoping to get the test out the way as soon as they possibly can. Tens of thousands of tickets have been sold. So Perth are absolutely dreaming. Either give the second one to the MCG and play it under lights, or give it to Tassie, who deserve it as well. But Perth, for the second year in a row, are going to miss out on a test due to their stupid demands on border controls.
That's the editorial I was after. Of course, you can trade a really vibrant second test for a dead rubber fifth if you want, but yeah. No, maybe Kane reckons that's not such a bad, not such a good idea. Black Cap skipper Brendan McCullum was a superstar in his day. He's here for the all-new Kia Sportage, which has been unleashed. If you haven't seen the Kia range, including the Stinger and the Sportage, drop down to your local Kia dealership. Brendan, welcome to the program. Great to have you on.
Thank you, boys. Thank you. Nice to join you.
Oh, Baz, take us through it, because we've trying to been having ideas about where this feat from Ajaz Patel ranks in terms of, you know, what is the most difficult thing you can do as a sporting individual. He's taken 10 wickets in innings, only the third person to ever do that. Where does it rank in your eyes?
Well, it's potentially the single greatest individual achievement in the history of our sport for our country, because, you know, result aside, and unfortunately it's going to be in a losing cause, it looks as if I guess you've got to put into context that there's been 2,500 test matches. Now, say you average out, say, 3 innings, that's 7,500 innings, and only 3 times has it ever been achieved before. And Ajaz Patel, probably an unlikely candidate, was able to achieve it. And the fact that it's in his city of birth as well. He'd gone back there, and it's almost written in the stars, lads. Just a truly remarkable performance, and you know, you need some luck to go your way for that too, because you've obviously, you know, only bowled half the overs. So just a truly remarkable performance. I couldn't quite believe it when I was watching it on TV, actually. He got 7, and I was like, nah, surely not. And then he got 8, and I was like, you're kidding. Yeah. And then 9, I was like, go on, son. And then the last one, I actually jumped up off the couch, and my wife's looking at me going, what are you doing, mate? And I was like, no, this is a big thing. But it was huge.
It was huge. Now, he's not a young man. He's 33 years of age. He's played 11 test matches. What is some of his story, and how did he land with the Black Caps?
Well, he's born and raised in Mumbai, and then they made their way over to New Zealand, his family, and you would have heard him talk. He's got a very thick New Zealand accent. He's very much a Kiwi. He's just been plying his trade domestically for a long period of time. I guess the fact that he's only played 11 test matches is more probably a throw towards the conditions that we are normally presented with in our country. A lot of the time we don't play a spinner, and if we do, it's only to one. So limited opportunities at home, but then ever since we've since he's been in and around the scene on the road when we play in the subcontinent conditions, he's one of the first picks. And he's done a remarkable job for us in a short period of time, and he's had some success where he's bowled New Zealand in favourable spinning conditions to some test wins abroad in places like Abu Dhabi and the UAE, shall I say, and the like. So, look, he's been a remarkable find for us, and the guys love him. You could see when he got his 10th wicket what it meant to all of them. He's just a good team man who just goes about his work, and he doesn't necessarily look like an athlete, but he's every bit of one when you think of what he can do with his left arm orthodox.
What's the reaction been like? Like, for you to say that it's the greatest New Zealand individual cricket feat in New Zealand cricket history is a massive call, and it's obvious. But what's the reaction in your part of the world been like to this feat?
Yep, it's been pretty much that. I guess it's tinged slightly with the performance of the rest of the side. It's been a very disappointing test match for New Zealand, and aside from HS Patel, and there'll be some questions which people want answers to, because we are ranked as the number one test team in the world, and we've been pretty meek and mild in this test match. And we passed up an opportunity to try and chase down a test win in the first test. So those questions will be asked. So there's always that little sort of murmurings in behind the scenes. But in regards to Ajaz's performance, I think it's sheer admiration and delight that he's been able to achieve this. And we've got to witness it. Because we'll probably never witness it again in our lifetime, a New Zealand player achieving such a feat.
Phenomenal. What's the DRS is always controversial, isn't it? I'm not sure they've got it completely right. There was one where he got Kohli for a dark LBW. You couldn't quite tell whether it was bat first or pad first, and it was given out after they went upstairs. There was another one also. It might have been, not sure the batsman he got, but didn't offer a shot outside the off stump, and it spun back a long way. They went upstairs, and that was given out. Is the DRS system working?
Well, first and foremost, the umpiring's been woeful right throughout the series. It's been nothing short of shocking. It's and there's been pretty good umpires on display as well, but I guess that's the extreme conditions that you're seeing, and the spinning and the bouncing and the variation and bounce as well, it does make umpiring very difficult. So I'll throw that slight disclaimer in there for them. But the decision making has been really poor, and the DRS has had to cover a lot of that decision making. You made mention of Virat Kohli's dismissal. That wasn't out. Well, that's hit the bat before it's hit the pad, and even with the benefit of the DRS, they still weren't able to get it right. So we got a saying in the coaching world that you can't coach stupidity. Well, you can't handle stupidity when it comes to people making those sorts of cock-ups as well. But that aside, India's been dominant in the series, and we had our chances in the first test. We passed up the opportunity to try and achieve something special by going for the safe option. And, well, I'm a believer in fortune favouring the brave, and unfortunately we weren't brave enough, and hence we're getting our comeuppance.
So when we have this kind of thing happen, Brendan, in Australia, we sort of weigh it up. What was the biggest event ever in Australian sport achievement? America's Cup, Cathy Freeman's Olympic gold in Sydney. What has to be beaten in New Zealand sport? What's the biggest sporting achievement ever in New Zealand sport, and where does this rate with that?
Well, first of all, I didn't realise you guys still competed for the America's Cup. Well, that's good to know that you're still dining out on that one way back in the day.
Nice.
I think it's very difficult to try and compare various sporting, I guess, accolades or achievements. In cricket, I definitely hold it up there as probably number one individual achievement. Across other sports, I mean, you look at, say, Michael Campbell winning the US Open. Crikey, what else have we got? We've got some brilliant sports people throughout our country. But, yeah, we've actually had this on our own show on the Baz Nizzi Breakfast over here on SCNZ. We've had this very question. Where to rank our top 20 individual sporting performances? So I'll have to go back and have a look at those. It's on our podcast as well. So I'll have to go back and have a look at those. But for me, Michael Campbell's achievement was up there. But, you know, this is remarkable because of the unlikely sort of nature of it, and the fact that in 2,500 test matches over the whole history of international test cricket, only three people have achieved it. And that one of those is now Ajaz Patel.
And I did hear that you were on your way to 10 wickets in a row at one stage, weren't you? You were, what, 1 wicket in?
Yeah. That's good. I'm pleased you brought that up. I do have a test wicket. My brother played international cricket too. He was a spin bowler, Nathan. I call him Mattress because he's a bit soft. But he never actually got a test wicket. So he played a lot of one day in T20 cricket, but he never got a test wicket. So it's always good banter around the Christmas sort of period when we just recollect the one test wicket that I got as a wicketkeeper batsman and the fact that he was able to achieve none. So yeah, I'm pleased you pulled up there. Thank you. Caught and bowled.
Love it. Caught and bowled, was it? Love it. Hey, before we let you go, we got the Ashes starting on Wednesday. You'll be keeping sort of an eye on it, I'm sure. Who do you like?
Well, I was actually meant to come over and cover it for Channel 7, lads, but just with all the border restrictions and quarantines and all the like of the various governments, it made it almost impossible to be able to cement that. It was a bit unfortunate, but I'm well across it in terms of the preps and that. And look, I think Ben Stokes' inclusion in the England side balances the ledger slightly, and as does all the off-field dramas that you guys have seemed to find yourselves in. But I think Australia, I think they'll be too strong. I really do. I think they'll win the Ashes and all the pressure that's been on Justin Langer of late. When you put a World T20 championship and then you put an Ashes victory on the back of that together, I think that all of that pressure will certainly will subside. So, look, I think you guys will be too strong. Also, I've noticed that the Big Bash is underway. My Brisbane Heat take on the Thunder tonight. So, up the Heat. Look forward to following them over the summer as well.
Good man.
Nice plug. Great to have you on. Brendan, let's hope you can get on a plane and get here at some stage in the near future. We are still in the situation where you wake up and you Google the news just to see if you can go to the shop. So it is a day-by-day basis we make our decisions. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ed. Take care. See ya.